morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Okay. Okay, so we're back into, it's been a while. So let's quickly just summarize again chapter 3, what's going on over here.
Morning, Josh.
So in order to be able to understand all the questions that he asked at the beginning of the Sefer, and to understand the battle between the two souls, and therefore how to serve Hashem, which he's going to get to in chapter 9, so he first goes on to explain the two souls themselves, to explain, you know thyself, one has to know with the deck that one is dealt, you know, to be able to know how to proceed. So he's explaining the two different souls. So again, in chapter 1, he introduced the animal soul, what it is, what it comes from, that it comes from Klipa. Chapter 2, he explained the godly soul, that it's from the essence of God, and the essence when you an essence is essentially the whole thing. That was in chapter 2, and he discussed the essence of what it is. Now in chapter 3, he begins to discuss the toichen, the content of what the soul has. And we discussed at length that chapter 3 and chapter 4 are the two aspects of what the soul has, which is what are the contents that the soul has. The soul is made up of faculties. 10 faculties is what it's made up of, and it has 3 garments. And we differentiated between koiches nefesh and levushe nefesh, the faculties that you have and garments that you wear. 10 faculties and 3 garments. What's the biggest difference between faculties and garments? So we said that the biggest difference is, like the words are, when you say garments, is things that you wear, which means you could take them off, you could put them on, and we said that's what you do. What do you do? The 3 things that you do is think, speak, and actual action. Machshava, dibur, maisa. Machshava, dibur, maisa are the things that you do. All of human activity could be divided up into these 3: thinking, speaking, and acting. Machshava, dibur, maisa. I don't know by a baby, it depends who you ask, but at least from as long as we remember, until the moment after I had 120, everything we ever do could be split up into thinking, speaking, or doing. Machshava, dibur, maisa. Those are the garments of the soul. The levushe nefesh. Meaning, it's not who you are. It's what you're doing. Who are you, your personality? That's the 10 faculties. The 10 faculties of Seichel Amidus. Intellect and emotions. Your intellect and emotions, that's who you are. That's your personality. That's who you are. Now, could those change? Could your intellect and emotions change? They can change. Because they're not your essence, and hence they could change. So why are they not called garments? So if they could also change, if you could change your intellect and emotions, you could change your personality, why are they not called garments? Why are they not also called garments if you could change them as well? If your personality could change as well, why are they not called garments? They're not usually changed. Okay, so the easy answer is that they're not easy to change. They're harder to change, right? Machshava dibur maisa is by definition easy to change. They change all the time. Machshava dibur maisa, thought, speech, and action are changing every moment, right? If you really think, thought, speech, and action are always changing. There never's 2 moments that they're the same. You're always thinking different thoughts, saying different things, doing different things, unless you're obsessive compulsive. Right? You have loop thinking. There are some people like that, right? That they're always thinking that's a disorder. Person that's always thinking the same thing, saying the same thing, doing the same thing, we call that a disorder, because they're supposed to always be fluid. Right? Mashen Kane, personality, Seichel Midas, intellect and emotions, personality is harder to change. You know what Yisrael Salanter said? Even Yisrael Salanter, the famous statement from Yisrael Salanter, that it's easier to finish Shas than to really change one midah, to change one character trait. Right? That to change one's personality is difficult. To change the way one thinks, your intellect, meaning mindset. It's early in the morning. To change your mindset, we're not talking about changing different things that you know. To change your mindset, your perspective, your midas, your character traits, your personality, that's hard. You can change them, but since they're who you are, they are your personality, they can change, and they do change over the years. Definitely over the years they change. You know what Churchill said? Churchill said that someone that's never a liberal by the age of 20 has no heart, and then who doesn't become a conservative by the age of 40 has no brain. Right. So, Avada, over the years, as a person matures, one's personality does change. Right? We change. We change, we get older, we change who we are. Right? That's the challenge in relationships, etc. So one can change, but because they're not the essence, but they're harder to change. Right? The Vilna Gaon says that's the whole purpose of our coming to this world. The Vilna Gaon holds, writes in Evan Shlema, that that's the real reason we're here, is to change our midas. Right? So you can change it, but they're very difficult to change. The personality is difficult to change. So that's one reason why they're not called garments of the soul, but rather faculties of the soul, koich nefesh, intellect and emotions, because they're harder to change. But there's another reason, a more important reason, other than the fact that they're harder to change. Why else are they called, a deeper reason, why else are they called faculties of the soul and not garments of the soul, if you could theoretically also change them? Why else would they be called the koiches nefesh, the faculties of the soul, and not just garments of the soul? We spoke about it, but... Huh? They direct the garments. Okay, that's true. That's true. Okay. They're more panemius than the garments, and they're the ones directing God. They're the ones that are being enclosed in the garments. That's true. They're the ones being enclosed in the garments. But say a little better.
You said it before, it's who you are.
Oh, that's the Vart. Remember Nir. They are who you are. You have to remember that, because that's going to be very important as we move on. Intellect and emotions are who you are. They're me. They're me. Hi, I'm Shmuel. That's who I am. What I think, speak, and do not have to at all reflect who I am. You know, you could dress up. You could dress differently than who you are. Right? You could think, speak, and act differently than who you are. That's going to be very important as we move on in the Sefer. Very important. That's going to be the whole crux of this book, is that you don't have to think, speak, and act according to who you are. That's going to be... But seichel and midas are who you are. Your intellect and emotions, that's you. Shalom aleichem, that's how we're all different. When the Gemara in Brachas says, Ein tzayir kelekeinu, that there is no artisan like God, that kishem, it's actually one of the... Ein kishem partzufeim deimezulazu, you remember? The Gemara says, just like there are no two people in history that ever have the same two faces, which is an incredible thing if you think about it. You ever think about that? Everyone has the same two eyes, one nose, and one mouth. I get it. How many things?
Snowflakes.
Snowflakes, they said, and a chanami, right. There's no two snowflakes that are exactly the same. But it's a pel de kazach, that's the Ebershtas Bria. You saw the cartoon, that's the WhatsApp, you know the WhatsApp thing now? The Eishko, what's the thing? You saw the picture? No, the group one, the Eish Kodesh one. It's a picture of a couple of chassidim around the penguin cage. It was changed? The Eish Kodesh one? No, it's not the Eish Kodesh one. You have to whip it out, I'll tell you. There's a penguin cage, and a couple of chassidim standing around the penguin cage, and one penguin says to the other, about the chassidim, how could they tell each other apart? About the penguins say it about the chassidim, how could they tell each other apart, right? Penguins could tell each other apart. It's like, you know, I'm sure you've heard from people say, oh, all Chinese people look the same. And you know what the Chinese people say? All the Jews look the same, right? Because familiarity breeds distinction. Unless you're familiar, everything looks the same, right? But the emes is that there are no two faces that are exactly the same. It's a peldika thing. But the Gemara in Brachas says that just like that, even though everyone seems to have the same two eyes, and yet there are no two who look exactly the same, the Gemara in Brachas says, Keshem shen partzufem doy mezulazu, kach ein deyaseyem. There are no two people of the same personality, which is also incredible. No two people have the same personality. So the koich tzenefesh are who you are. That's what makes you different. Many people evaluate somebody based on your face. A lot of people that determine, rate you, evaluate you based on the way that you look, your face, etc. But the emphasis, who you really are, is your personality. That's koich tzenefesh. So koich tzenefesh is who you are. What you do is thought, speech, and action. Now, That's clear? So that's the deeper reason why it's not called garments of the soul, but rather faculties of the soul, because that's who you are. Clear? Now here's the $67,000 question. You ready? Because this is essentially where we were holding when we left off. I think nobody here really missed anything because we did a Basta Legani. Ezra, you didn't miss anything. This is where everyone's holding. Here's the $67,000 question. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, which one of these, your personality, or thought, speech, and action, which one of these is more important, or which one of these brings you closer to God? Which one of these is more important when it comes to connecting to God? So we have three people in a row, four people just said action. That's because we're a room full of Orthodox Jews. Think about that for a second. In a room full of Orthodox Jews, everyone right away said, it's very interesting actually, sociologically and psychologically, that four people right away within 5 seconds said that when it comes to being closer to God, what's more important is what you do, your actions. Avoda, okay, fine. Avoda, thought, speech, and action is your avoda, okay. Which that is itself is interesting that you're calling that avoda. So David is saying from the 613 mitzvahs, most of them are telling you what to do and not, well, thinking is one of them. Is how to think, speak, and act, most of them. And changing who you are is only emuna, yediyas Hashem, avas Hashem, and yiras Hashem, seemingly. Right? Okay, I hear you.
I'm only saying because
Rebbe told me. You're only saying because Rebbe told you. Okay. So, the Tani self what? Also, what does the Tani self say? Okay. I'm not going to give you the answer now. We'll wait. So Yishai is saying that's what it's going to say in chapter 4. Okay. What? Mashela? No, it's important to discuss it because... What? The discussion is about what's more important and what brings you closer to Hashem. Who you are or what you do. Okay, good. I hear. But I want everyone to just reflect on that because it really depends on what you mean by closer to Hashem. Do you remember our story of the snotty 5-year-old with the iPhone and Sir Isaac Newton? Mm-hmm. No? Oh, you weren't here.
No, the iPhone is everything.
So I'm going to remind you, Mashal, and as we move along in chapter 3 or 4, we're going to bear both in mind. But the Mashal is like this. You have Sir Isaac Newton, one of the greatest scientists that ever lived. And then think of a little 5-year-old from Lawrence that his parents got him an iPhone. Who has more science, Sir Isaac Newton or the 5-year-old?
It depends. One is grasping it in his mind.
What you mean by hat? What? He's holding more science, right? Sir Isaac Newton, in his wildest dreams, would never have dreamed of the science in an iPhone. But it's not who he is. So that's bear that in mind when we speak about thought and act, thought, speech, and action, as opposed to your personality, because it depends what you mean by who, what it means to be more closer to God.
Right. If you mean what it means to get closer to God through your thoughts and emotions or through actions, the means to get closer are through actions.
Uh huh.
The thoughts and emotions are the ones that very
intellect and emotions. Okay, so I hear. So bear that in mind, because the next couple of chapters is going to be focusing on this. That's why Tanya is such an important book, because everyone right away said most important thing is what you do, because we're from Jews, right? But what Tanya is about Pnimius. It's not Shulchan Aruch. Tanya is about Pnimius. Well, Kavanah is part of it for sure. But Tanya is about Pnimius, which means that it's not just about what you do. It's also about changing who you are and how much we're able to do that or not.
Well,
So we'll see. Bear it in mind that all I want to say now at this point is bear that in mind as we move along. Always remember that Tanya is going to be about doing as opposed to who you are. Changing who, and not necessarily changing who you are in a Musar way, because that's also, it's not going to be Musar. It's not going to be what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter meant. That's why Tanya is a derech. The derech of the Alter Rebbe is a derech. He wants to show you how you could change who you are, but not like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that it's like as hard as finishing Shas. There's a way that it will change who you are in a more temporary but more lasting way. And that's a paradox, and I know. But we'll see. Let's go on. One doesn't stay a Benini. One is a constant state of working on staying a Benini. And we'll see what I mean. So let's learn. Let's see. But I want you to bear that in mind as we move along always, that intellect and emotions are who you are, and thought, speech, and action is what you do. Okay, let's see inside. So we're holding by similarly. Let's just start again from the beginning of the chapter. It's been a while. I'll just quickly read again. Now, chapter 3, page 10. Now, each distinction and grade of the three levels of soul, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, consists of 10 faculties, corresponding to the 10 supernal spheres from which they have descended. We learned already about that, we're not going to go through it again, but just bekitzer, that our souls come from the 10 spheres. Our souls come from the 10 spheres, as opposed to the lower three worlds, the Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, as opposed to all created things in the worlds of Biyah, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, including angels and everything else, which are created from the 10 spheres. Our souls actually come from the 10 spheres, and therefore they correspond, reflect to the 10 spheres. And those 10 spheres are subdivided into two, namely the three mothers and the seven multiples, which are the words that the Sefer Yetzirah uses for these two levels of the spheres, namely Chochma, Bina, and Das are God's wisdom, God's intellect, and the 7 days of creation, meaning the seven lower spheres, which we spoke about, why there are seven lower spheres of the emotions that are relate to this world, are Chesed, Gvur, and Tiferes, and so on. That's how it is by the 10 spheres. Similarly, and this is what we're up to, similarly, it is with the human soul, which is divided in two: intellect and emotions, seichel and midos. Now, when Tani says midos, it's not the same thing as what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter means as midos. You understand? I mean, it's the same usage of the word. But when usually you say about midos tovos, right? When your teacher wants you to have good midos. Or shlech, a person has shlech to midas, has bad midas. What does midas mean over there? Character traits. Here it means specifically emotions. What's the difference between emotions and character traits? Emotions are deeper. Character traits are also part of your personality, but character traits are ways that emotions manifest, ways that emotions take specific form. Character traits, what we usually think of as midas, is how your emotions already have a specific type of form, right? Like this is a person who is a giving person. His character trait is a giving person, a gut in the neshama. What does it mean he's a good person, a gut in the neshama? What does that mean? That his midas chesed already has a specific form. Or that person is a schlechte mensch, a disgusting person. That means that his midah gvura has very much taken form of his soul. So character traits are when the emotions already have specific forms, which is what therapists make their money doing, right, Aryeh? Yep. Therapists make their money by trying to figure out why this person have these anxieties and these bad character traits, to go to the emotions that are behind those character traits. So, but deeper, the emotions, that's really the seething cauldron of the soul, is the actual emotions. And intellect, that's the safe. So, seemingly we think that emotions are the deepest part of the soul. But now the Alter is going to say something which you all know, but we're going to now reflect why that seems to be something, a novel idea. Look, the intellect includes Chochma, Bina, and Das, which we're now going to learn very shortly what the difference is between them, while the Midas are love of God, dread and awe of Him, glorification of Him, and so forth. Now first of all, did you notice something interesting when he writes the emotions? Look, while the emotions are love of God, avas Hashem, dread and awe of Him, yir and pachad from God, and glorification of Him. What's the first thing that strikes you about this list of emotions over here? Are they the emotions that, you know, we usually deal with in therapist's office and stuff? Oh, that's the idea, right. He's talking about the David said, he's talking about the godly soul here. So right away when you read Tanya, you know, I remember when I read it the first time, I was like, oh, I'm more excited, he's going to talk about my emotions, and your eyes just says love and fear of God, you're like, that's a bummer. That doesn't sound like my emotions. So the answer is because he's talking about the godly soul. He's going to talk about the animal soul in chapter 6. He's going to talk about, listen carefully, he's going to talk about the animal soul, which is, you know, zwischen uns gerät, between us, that's what we'll relate to more, that's in chapter 6. Here he's talking about the godly soul. Always remember, I already said it to you, I'm going to say it to you again, he says it in chapter 29. When I say I, each one of us, when we are me, who are we primarily? Who's my I? The animal soul, the godly soul? Nefesh HaBehemis, the God, the animal soul. When we wake up in the morning, the cup of coffee is a lot more important, there's a lot more pressing to us than the tefillin. Yeah? The animal soul is the I that we're a lot more comfortable with. So that's what, it sounds like he's talking about a different person over in chapter 3, but he's not, he's talking about you, but he's talking about your godly soul. Okay, so that's why it's going to sound a little, we're going to get to the more, you know, base things in chapter 6. So, the emotions are love of God, dread and awe from glorification. So the godly soul only knows one type of emotion, vis-a-vis God. Vis-a-vis Hashem. So those are the emotions of the godly soul. Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem, glorification of Him. What does glorification of Him mean? What's the emotion of glorification of Him? Anyone know? You notice that? Obviously, it's Chesed Gvur Tiferes. Good, but I'm not looking just for words. What is the emotion of glorification of Him? In Hebrew, Lefa'aro. What's the emotion of glorification of Him? Which is going to be very important because it's one of the main emotions to have in serving God. Hitpa'alut, how do you translate hitpa'alut? So that's interesting because that's in modern Hebrew, you're right. In Hasidus, hispa'alus would refer to any of the emotions. Hispa'alus would be having an emotional reaction at all, we would call this hispa'alus. But in modern Hebrew, hitpa'alut, hitpa'el means to be impressed, which is right. What's the emotion of being impressed? What's the emotion of glorification of Him? What does that mean? What's the emotion of being impressed? What does that mean? What's the emotion of being impressed? Huh? That's the second one. Awe is the second one.
It's mixed between the two.
What do you mean?
I mean the air is few colors, which makes it, you know, not black and white.
So what's that as an emotion? You're saying it's a few colors as opposed to black and white. Good, but what's that as the emotion? What's the emotion, huh? Being humbled, okay, that's the result of glorification, of his spilos, of being impressed, is being humbled. That's the emotion that brings to humility, that's correct. But what's the emotion, just think for a second, what's the emotion that brings to that feeling of being humbled? Huh? Awareness is going to bring to emotions, we're going to see in a second. But what's that emotion? What's the emotion that you're actually having? What are you feeling when you glorify something?
The greatness,
again, that the awareness, like Ben said, and the greatness is what's going to bring to that emotion. But what's the emotion? Praising as a result of that emotion. What's the emotion? What's the feeling you're having?
Happy, scared.
Excitement, being impressed. Think of it, what's the emotion? Think of that emotion, the emotion of being excited, being impressed. What's the emotional feeling of being impressed, being excited? You know, love and even fear and awe are emotions that are a lot more, calm. Lefaro, being to be in a state of pe'er, to be in a state of being impressed, could result from those two, but a feeling of excitement, the feeling of being moved very greatly, and the feeling, the emotion of having, of being overcome by something. People like feeling overcome by something. If you look, Rabbi A.J. Heschel, his first book, Man Is Not Alone, the first chapters of his book is called The Sense of the Ineffable, where he speaks about the awareness of grandeur, the awareness of majesty and grandeur. And he says, we understand why people like things that are lovely, that are good-looking, that are pretty, that are pleasant. Why do people like grandeur? Hoyd v'hoder. Why do people like seeing majestic mountains? Why do people feel in awe of thunderstorms and these type of things? What's that feeling? Huh?
It's a stimulation.
It's the most stimulating thing, right. So the emotion of Tiferes is to be overcome by grandeur, to be overcome by majesty. That excitement that comes by being taken out of yourself. And we're going to see in Avodas Hashem that it's not supposed to just only necessarily come to feel love of Hashem, but also be excited by God, being impressed by God, by being in a state of being taken out of yourself, being raised out of yourself, being overcome. That's Tiferes. So these are the emotions that the godly soul feels. Let's see inside. And now the next sentence is what you all just said. Chabad, the intellectual faculties, are called mothers, and the source of the emotions, for the latter, the midas, are offspring of the former. So here we come to one of the most fundamental sentences in the whole sheet of Chabad. Emotions have to come from intellect. Emotions are the offspring, look at the words that he says, are the offspring, the toldos, look at the bottom line in the Hebrew, hamidus, the bottom line in the Hebrew, hamidus hen toldos chabad. The emotions are offspring of the intellect. Any emotions always are children, result from the intellect. So first of all, tell me right away, if in your experience that's true, that any emotions you have always come from intellect.
No, I look at it and I love it right away.
Good, David is saying what we're all thinking, right? What does that mean, that emotions come from intellect? Emotions come from intellect, what does that mean? Seemingly emotions don't come from intellect. We look at things and we love it right away, we want them right away.
If you didn't know what the difference between coal and gold was, right? And you just, if you were an infant, there's very much Rabbeinu where they presented in front of him coal and gold. That's the example, right?
Right.
Seemingly, that was a test to see which way he would go. But if you don't know what the difference between, if you take a child and you stick him in front.
Okay, so Dov is saying something very good. Dov is saying that seemingly, you know why emotions are always, by definition, the offspring of intellect? Because if you don't know that something is good, you didn't learn to like it, you're not going to want it. Right? Like you said, Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the test, that Hitaka was a smart child, and he wanted the gold and not the burning coals. But not necessarily would all children know that. So therefore, seemingly, you need the intellect to be able to have the emotions. So that's true, until you, the first time, learn what something is.
Right.
But the question is, from age, let's say 20, till 90, yeah, every time you have an emotion, is it always coming from intellect?
You have to process something.
You processed it 10 years ago, or 20 years ago.
Right, but it's in your DNA.
You know, right, but
things are exciting.
So, but here's the thing. I remember when my oldest son, when Mendel was a baby, I remember when he was, must have been two, something like 2.5. So I remember we gave him this, the sweet, cough syrup, and he liked it because he liked the taste of it, and he, chocolate, he liked it. And then when we gave him broccoli or something, he didn't like it. He didn't want to eat it. And I remember thinking to myself that, how did he already figure that one out? Yeah, I never had that father-son talk with him, the broccoli you're not supposed to like and chocolate you're supposed to... He just figured it out on his own.
One sweet one.
How did he figure that out? He had an intellectual... He didn't sit in a philosophy class. Exactly. So it's not necessarily Chabad.
Right.
It's not intellect. It comes seemingly from experience. It doesn't have to be intellect. Here the Alter Rebbe is saying that, so what you're talking about is, let's say, money as opposed to Nintendo. Right? You know, your grandmother says, do you want $100 or do you want a ball? So when you're 5, you're like, I want a ball. Right? I want Nintendo. When you're older, you're like, I want the money. Because you appreciate money. That's what you're talking about. Gold as opposed to coals. But when it comes to most things that we love, most things that we sit in therapy about are not things that you have to have an intellectual experience. And he's about to say a whole thing of meditating and everything. The answer is that this is the biggest difference between the godly soul and the animal soul. The animal soul is primarily emotions. We're going to see this again in chapter 6. The animal soul, in other words, if I would say to you, in your personality, when we speak about who you are, what and who are you are primarily? What are you driven by primarily? Your intellect or your emotions? If you're honest with yourself, what would you say when we speak about who am I? Who am I mostly? What am I most of the day? Emotions. Basically, I'm emotions. Basically, I'm always dealing with who I am is what I enjoy doing. Who I am, right? Intellect is something that I have to, harness. So that's the biggest difference between the animal soul and the godly soul. The animal soul is primarily a force of emotions. It has intellect, but then there the intellect, like you said, Dov, the intellect of the animal soul is just to know how to function with the emotions. But the intellect is secondary to the emotions. But it's essentially emotions.
And then you're saying that the intellect is the
emotion. No. The animal soul has intellect. But the intellect of the intellect of the animal soul is secondary to its emotions. It's primarily an emotional force. Here, Dov, it's primarily an emotional force. Its intellect is subjugated to it. Right? You have, You have a person on Wall Street, a multi-millionaire who makes his business by cheating, stealing, lying, destroying other people.
Sounds about right.
What was the guy's name? Remember back from the 80s? Gordon Gekko? Gordon Gekko from the 80s? Remember Gordon Gekko? You have somebody like that. So is that person, this brilliant Wall Street person, or a lawyer, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, cheats, lies, steals, spends his time ruining other people's lives, and in a genius way, is that person primarily intellect or emotions?
Yeah.
That person is primarily emotions. The intellect is a brilliant person, but the intellect is just what?
Driven by the emotions.
It's just driven in trying to guide the emotions. It's just schlepped along. The emotions are using the intellect to let me get what I want. The animal soul is all about me, my feelings, what I want, what I feel, and the intellect I'm just going to use to schlep along for that. The godly soul, which is what he's talking about here, is primarily intellect. Primarily intellect. And the emotions are always going to only, listen carefully, only be a result of intellect. Which means in simple English, when it comes to having a deeper connection to God, if the starting point is, I want to feel good right away, it's not going to get you to God. God is not like chocolate or money. You can't taste Him and make Him feel good right away and right away be all of a sudden want Him, like money or chocolate or the other things that as soon as we see we want. Wait, when it comes to the godly soul, you need to intellectually have meditations of Him, and then you could have emotions of Him. The emotions are a result. Asks David, says Docha Pasuk, Taimer Uki Tov Hashem, taste and you'll see that God is good. What's the answer? How do you taste God? How do you taste God? The answer is, by meditating on Him. There's no other way to taste Him. What? The Pasuk could have said that. So that's what the Pesukim are saying. There are a million Pesukim that say, right? All of Sugi de Zimra, let me ask you a very simple question. You're about to say in a couple of minutes from now, five halalukas. What is the point of the five halalukas? You ever wonder why you say Sugi de Zimra before davening? What's a Sugi de Zimra? It's like a National Geographic program. The mountains, the hills, Yehuda Tata is the word in Chassidus, but the mountains, the hills, why are you meditating in Yehuda Tata? Why are you meditating on the mountains, the hills? Remes v'tzipor kan, if you're all going to say in a pasuk, in a few minutes from now, you're all going to say a pasuk, Remes v'tzipor kan. How do you translate that? Remes v'tzipor kan. Insects and birds. You're all going to say in a few minutes from now the words insects and birds. Creepy, crawly creatures and birds. Every morning of your lives, you're going to wake up and say insects and birds. Why is that a hakdama to tefillah? Because you need to taste God. You need to taste God before you could daven to Him. How do you taste God? By meditating on His light. That's the whole idea. The godly soul to come to love, to fear, and to be excited by God, you need to taste God. Yes, how do you taste Him? Seichel, intellect. And we'll continue with Hashem tomorrow, what it means to taste God through intellect.
Can you reverse the order of the Nefesh Bahamas? Does it ever be that the Nefesh Bahamas is intellect and then emotion, or is it always going to be run by emotion and then intellect?
It's always going to be subservient to emotion. Then, you could strengthen its intellect, yes.
So, do the Nefesh Bahamas and the Nefesh Elokim work together?
Yes, of course, that's what we're going to get to. Of course, we're going to get to, sure. That's chapter 9.